T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back in. Thursday Huddle, ESPN Upstate, GMAC Richmond, Lonzo. Phone lines open, 844-477-3776. Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson are playing together today. They're just wrapping up hole number one at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills. And it's a nice putt by Dustin to par the thing. That's a great score, par on that hole.
A great way to start, considering how some of these other guys have started.
Including Tiger, who is now putting for double bogey on number one. And he missed it. He's got the triple bogey on number one. So there you go, Tiger fans. Woo. Just ugly. Tough.
Rough start.
Yeah, that's tough. We'll keep an eye on the scores this afternoon. Minus one leads. Got a bunch of guys tied at minus one, including Ian Poulter. I think Sergio, is he still there? Did you fall off of that? Maybe you fell off it. But anyway, got like six guys tied at minus one. Two of them have finished, and the others are on the front nine at the U.S. Open. Difficult. All right, NFL. Deshaun Watson met with the media yesterday, Houston Texans quarterback, and he is looking forward to getting back out on the field, obviously. And here's the update from Deshaun on how he is doing right now.
The knee is doing good. Able to do some things, you know, on the field with the team, physically wise. For the 9-week goal that we put in from the beginning, I'm pretty much where I wanted to be, kind of past it, you know, inside in the weight room, mentally, and also on the field. So everything's going smoothly right now.
In fact, Deshaun said he is light years away from where he was last year coming in as a rookie as far as his preparedness and ability to, you know, start the season and lead the team. He said everything was going so fast last year. There was a lot of information at that time. But having a full season and off season with OB, the coach, Bill O'Brien, and Coach Sean Ryan, being able to advance my game and take my game to another level, he said, has been great. They say perhaps the biggest step he's taken from year one to year two is his knowledge of opposing defenses. He knows a little more, a lot more, about what defensive backs do technique-wise, what each defensive look means, and O'Brien and Ryan, the quarterback's coach, have worked on that with Watson in the classroom with film, test, communication, and board work. Adam Schefter of ESPN talking about Deshaun Watson, and he says kind of the obvious here, the season, at least offensively for the Texans, hinging on Deshaun Watson.
Back without a brace, which is a very encouraging sign for the Houston Texans. The fact that he's back out there, not wearing the brace, going through the drills, I think that has to be a very positive development with Deshaun Watson, because if he is back out there, then that team becomes a very formidable team with a chance to go as far as it possibly can. That's what they want. And again, they'll have to be careful with him, ramp him up as they get closer to training camp, make sure that he's being smart about when and when not to run.
Yeah, that's Adam Schefter. So what are your expectations for the sophomore year for Deshaun Watson? As long as he stays healthy, going to light it up again? Or is there a chance that defenses will adjust to him and he'll have a little more difficult time than he had last year? Any chance of that?
Yeah, I think there will be some of that. But also remember, as much as they'll be able to adjust, it's off of only 7 games of film. So you would think that that might be limiting how much they were able to really pick up on. Now, I know they'll obviously dissect all of the game film that they do have, but you probably would like a full season to really see. So I would suspect there's got to be a little bit of a drop-off in terms of his performance. Just that's the way the NFL is. As you see some guys have a situation where they come out strong, fall back a little bit, but I do expect he's going to have a really good season. Is he going to light it up the way he did? Probably not, just in all reality, because it's the NFL. It's a different type of game. And even though I know he's talking about it looking like he's becoming more of a student of the game and he's making a lot of progress, defenses are are very good in the NFL. And I know I'm simplifying things, but that's just the reality of it.
You agree, Lonzo? Drop off?
No, I actually think he's going to get better. I think the injury will come into play as far as mobility and stuff. But if you, I remember from year one to year two at Clemson, I think he got better. And he seems to be someone who continues to improve. And we have seen how it works for quarterbacks. A lot of quarterbacks have said when the game slows down, they get better in their second year. And there's so much to take in. And probably the injury helped him a little bit as far as less pressure and being able to learn the game more from all the other aspects while he was out with the injury. But yeah, I think he's going to do better. And from what we've seen, the little bit we've seen from where he's out on the field, it was a couple of days ago, he looked pretty good. Not only do they get him back, they get J.J. Watt back, so their defense is going to be really good. That takes pressure off of them too. And if he would have stayed in, they would have made some noise in the playoffs. So I think he's definitely going to get better.
Now, the situation with that too is that when I define a drop-off versus getting better, you got to remember what he was on pace to do last year. I mean, he was on pace to break every rookie NFL record out there.
Mm-hmm. He probably would have slowed down at some point last year.
Yeah, and I think that this is going to be the natural slowdown for him. That doesn't mean he's going to have a bad year.
Right.
I just think it's going to be somewhat of a slowdown off of the run that he was having at the beginning of the year.
Has that division gotten any better?
Yeah.
So at least playing your own division, you're going to look really good doing that. I think his stats are going to be on par with what he did last year, and I think he's going to do really well.
Yeah, I hope he does. I hope he far exceeds what he was able to do.
It's all about staying healthy for him.
It is.
And I don't know whether he can or not. We'll get to that in three questions, how they should handle Deshaun Watson in the offseason, getting ready for the start of 2018. DeAndre Hopkins, he wasn't a teammate of Deshaun's at Clemson. Deshaun came in after Nuke, but they both went to Clemson, obviously. And he said Watson's extra studying has shown up this offense, this offseason. And that during OTAs, even as the second-year quarterback has been working his way back from the ACL tear, he's seeing the benefit of that study. Hopkins said he's noticed that Deshaun Watson is not just coming out and making plays that he can naturally do, but he is studying defenses. He is being a student of the game. He said just the conversations we have in between workouts and warming up, constantly going over defenses, talking about what we can do to get better. I definitely can see him wanting to be the best. And, of course, he was trending toward that last year in the 7 games he played before he had the surgery in November. At the time of his injury, he had 19 passing touchdowns. He was tied with Carson Wentz for the Philadelphia Eagles for the NFL lead. And he was on pace, as you said, Richmond, to shatter the record for touchdown passes by a rookie quarterback. 26 is the rookie record, and he had 19 in 7 games. So pretty darn good. What does Bill O'Brien say? He says he's seen Watson grow as a person, said the transition from college life to the responsibilities and self-motivation necessary to be successful in the NFL is sometimes a problem for rookies, but he said that was not the case for Watson. Ryan, the quarterback coach, called him a young professional. O'Brien said Watson has a consistent daily approach. He's in the building every morning at 6 a.m., taking care of his body, eating correctly. He's in the meeting. He's focused. Ready to go. He has good ideas, and there's good interaction in the meetings, and he has come out here on the field and been able to do what he can do. So, all positive so far for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's all about staying healthy, and I've seen some of the video clips of their mini camp right now,
mm-hmm.
and Deshaun Watson didn't have a knee brace on.
No, that's right. That's what they said. That's what Schefter said. No knee brace. That's a good sign that he doesn't need that. Let's hope he doesn't need that, man. You know, the thing is, these injuries he has are often non-contact stuff for Deshaun Watson. So there's almost
the major ones
nothing
have all,
you can do about that.
That's right. I think the knee ones have all been non-contact.
Yeah.
Even at Clemson, it was non-contact.
That's right. So, I mean, is it fair to call him injury prone? Probably. Right? I mean, he has been. Doesn't mean he always has to be.
But he hasn't been hurt every single year.
Yeah, there was one year.
That was that one year.
Yeah,
where he wasn't hurt.
Just one year. I just
Nah,
I mean, you're looking at me. There was only one year where he wasn't injured. Right?
His junior year, his senior year, he wasn't hurt.
He didn't have a senior year.
It's a valid point. So he wasn't hurt. Right?
No, you're right. You're right. Didn't get hurt his senior year. That's good. I like it. 844-477-3776. Text line is 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. A little other, one more NFL note to pass along involving the Dallas Cowboys. All-pro right guard Zach Martin has agreed to a six-year extension, $84 million, $40 million guaranteed, according to Schefter. This deal runs through 2024, includes a $20 million signing bonus. Martin skipped OTAs without the security of the long-term contract, but he has attended the first 2 days of mandatory minicamp after progress was made last weekend in the negotiations. Cowboys were hoping to lock down Martin to a long-term deal last year. That didn't happen. Once the season began, Martin put the negotiations on hold, but he said he never wanted to leave the Cowboys. So they started talks right after the end of the season last year. And they hit a little snag about a month ago, but they resolved the issues in the past few days. So this makes Martin the highest paid guard in the NFL and among the highest paid offensive linemen. I don't know. Is he worth it? Who knows? I can't watch offensive linemen closely enough to tell you who's worthwhile on that.
But we know offensive linemen are very important.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, Andrew Norwell, the Jacksonville, signed to a deal with the Jags, averaging $13.3 million a season, five-year, $66 million deal, $15 million signing bonus, $30 million guaranteed. Kevin Zeitler at Cleveland signed a free agent deal, five-year, $60 million, $31.5 million guaranteed. And so there are some well-paid guys out there. You can certainly make some money as an O lineman. But just to add to the list, Zach Martin at Dallas, to the guys who are getting paid right now. All right, 844-477-3776. We're going to switch gears and talk about college baseball. College World Series coming up this weekend, beginning this weekend in Omaha, Nebraska. And a guy who will be on the call play-by-play for many of those games is Tom Hart, ESPN and SEC Network. He also used to work for the Braves. And so we'll get his thoughts on the Atlanta Braves run so far this season. So we will talk next to Tom Hart about the College World Series. When we come back, this is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate's Greg McKinney. And we're happy to be joined on the line by Tom Hart, who is with ESPN, SEC Network, and be calling College World Series games in Omaha this weekend. Tom, how are you?
Greg, I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me today.
Good to have you on. What games will we be on this weekend? Where can we look for you?
Well, I'll be on the first game of the College World Series and then the night game on Sunday. Then we'll be there all week, typically on the day side, but we will get it started with what I think is the premier game of the day and maybe the weekend when Oregon State and North Carolina meet to kick this thing off.
Well, let's dive into that. Talking about North Carolina, the ACC competitor among the eight teams there. I know they're getting a key pitcher back, and I believe his name is Delatry. Is that going to make a big difference?
Yeah. Oh, huge difference. And he's been big for him down the stretch. It still remains to be seen what his stamina is like and how deep he can go into games, not just from arm strength, but just your general athletic stamina. But this is a team that had to live without their ace all season long, and somehow they found a way to win. So I think in some ways they probably feel like they're playing with house money by getting him back. But it's a veteran team. They had a great year in the ACC. They've got some guys back that are extra motivated. I don't know if you remember, but this is a team in North Carolina that was a national seed last year. And it looked like they had the golden ticket to Omaha. And lo and behold, they lose back-to-back games at home to four-seed Davidson. Mm. Davidson had never won a regional before. They were big-time underdogs. Carolina, in a lot of ways, they were embarrassed on their home field. They've done a remarkable job of either using that as motivation or just putting that to the back burner and getting back to Omaha. They had a fantastic postseason. They just ran through everybody, including a really good Stetson team that came to their place for the Super Regional. So they're a talented team, and they seem to be motivated.
But Oregon State got to be one of the favorites going in, right?
Yeah, Oregon State along with Florida, the odds makers have them both at 3-1. I think Oregon State is in a little bit better position than Florida as of this point right now, simply because Florida fell off a little bit towards the tail end of the season, and Oregon State has carried their excellence all year long. They're the best team in college baseball. They have first-rounders up the middle at both second base and shortstop. They've got a big-time center fielder. They've got a future first-rounder behind the plate. This is a team that you're going to look back on a few years down the road when you're seeing guys in the Major League All-Star game, and you're going to say, oh, I remember that kid when he played in Omaha. I remember watching him on ESPN in the College World Series. That's how talented this Oregon State team is.
Last year, they had a lot of distraction at this time around Luke Heimlich. Is that, I know he's there. Is that controversy behind them? You think it's going to be a distraction at all this year?
It's a controversy, certainly not behind him. I mean, last year, Heimlich pulled himself from the roster. He didn't show up in Omaha. He did not play in any of the postseason games. He is playing this year. He went undrafted as one of the top prospects in the game as both a junior and a senior. And I think that he probably has a lot to prove. He doesn't have much to prove left on the diamond. He's been the best pitcher in college baseball each of the last 2 years. But he is playing. He is pitching. I fully expect to see him on the mound in game one on Saturday against North Carolina. And if you can put your aces together, similar to what Florida did last year, then it won't be the last time we'd see Luke Heimlich. He'd also appear, obviously, in the championship series if Oregon State can get there, and they have the talent to do so.
Talking to Tom Hart, calling College World Series games for ESPN. And Tom, we just saw Arkansas beat one of our in-state teams in the South Carolina Gamecocks in a super regional last weekend, and saw a guy like Carson Shaddy light it up from the plate. But they just seem to have bats all over the place. What do you think of Arkansas?
Yeah, bats galore from top to the bottom of the lineup. Everybody's a threat to hit one out. I think Arkansas is the best power-hitting team left in the field. The question is, will that power translate to that big ballpark in Omaha? If the wind direction is the same as it was last year, they'll have a fantastic opportunity to do so, and they can slug their way to a title. If the wind direction is as it usually is, that ballpark plays even bigger than the dimensions. They're going to have a hard time hitting the ball over the fence. They can still score runs without the home run, but their fielding is not as elite as you see from other teams. So a lot of things will have to go right, I think, for Arkansas to pull this thing out, unless the wind is in their favor and they can hit 2-3 home runs a game.
You mentioned another SEC team in Florida, of course, won it last year. This year's team compared to last year's team, can you do that? Is that fair? Are they as good?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think from a talent perspective, they're just as good. They have the SEC Coach of the Year, the SEC Player of the Year, and the SEC Pitcher of the Year. Brady Singer is their ace. He was their number two last year behind Alex Fajardo, who went in the first round to Detroit. Both Fajardo and Singer pitched Florida to the national championship. They did not hit extremely well. They hit .220 in Omaha last year. They did come up with a timely knock here and there. This is a much better offensive team than last year for Florida. They have bats galore. They have good team speed. They have taken a step back on the fielding side over the last 3-4 weeks of the season, and they need to be refined, and they need to try to perfect that once they get to Omaha, because Kevin O'Sullivan in the past has built his teams on pitching and defense. This one's close, but the difference is the offense has taken them a step ahead and can mask some of those inefficiencies.
The third SEC team in Omaha is Mississippi State. Of course, they've got a coaching situation there. What do you think of the Bulldogs going into the weekend?
Well, I think they've got a voodoo doll of somebody, or a voodoo banana, because they're doing it all with black magic right now. They're a fun team to watch. They've got a ton of momentum. Elijah McNamee isn't their star, but he's played like one. He's hit 5 home runs in the postseason. He's hit 2 walk-off home runs. His first came with 2 strikes and 2 outs in the 9th inning against Florida State. And ever since that walk-off home run in an elimination game in Tallahassee, Mississippi State seems like they're playing with house money. They are a fun team to watch. They're a great group of college players. I don't think that they have a ton of pro prospects on this team. You're not going to look up in 5 years and say, oh, I remember those 4 guys who all played at State. But it doesn't seem to matter to them. They rise to the occasion. And if they can hold on to that momentum and keep it rolling, they have a great chance to do some damage in Omaha.
Speaking of stars, and they're all over the place in Omaha, people should make it a point to watch for Cody Clemens, Roger Clemens' son at Texas, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the guy has a knack for the dramatic, kind of like his dad did. He's got a swagger about him that you will either love or hate, or maybe love to hate. I was there for the regional, and he hit a home run against Texas A&M in the first inning. That really decided the game. It was over at that point. And as he rounded third, he glared into the A&M dugout. If you like Texas and you like that swagger, it was the coolest thing ever. If you don't, you would want to put a fastball in his ribs in the very next plate appearance. He is a lot of fun to watch. I guess you'd say he could be polarizing, but there's no doubt he's a great player. As you watch that Texas team, though, in addition to Clemens at second base, keep an eye on their shortstop. David Hamilton is a future first-rounder. He has incredible speed, and he bats in the leadoff spot. So a lot of those big hits that Clemens comes up with, they're made possible because the pitcher is worried about Hamilton at first or second, and they're worried about the run game. And in that respect, Cody Clemens gets a lot of pitches to hit that he otherwise shouldn't or wouldn't. So there's two guys to watch for that Texas team.
Tom, before I let you go, I know you have some Braves coverage in your background and are familiar with Atlanta. Boy, it's unbelievable what they're doing. Still in first place here in the middle of June. When are they going to come back to reality, or are they this season?
Hopefully never. Hopefully never, because what they've done now is they've put themselves in a position to where once you approach a trade deadline, they can now absolutely go after maybe some bullpen arms to help shore up the pen. Or fine. I don't think they're going to go out and buy that one big time ace right now. They're not going to spend a ton of money. I think that would probably be saved for the off season, but they can help solidify this team. Everyone knew the young talent was close to be ready, but what they've done to this point has been amazing, and it's so fun to see for a guy who covered them and spent a lot of time around Freddie Freeman. I'm just so thrilled for him that after seeing what he went through when the team was down, that he has an opportunity now to perhaps return to the postseason and to do it in the prime of his career, because it was a real shame that there wasn't any more talent around him in the batting order and on the field over the last few years. You can't say that anymore.
No question. Tom Hart, ESPN, SEC Network, and he'll be bringing you some of the games from the College World Series in Omaha over the next couple of weeks. Tom, we appreciate it. We look forward to your coverage.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate that from Tom Hart, good guy, and handling the lead play-by-play for the College World Series, and a Braves guy. He did a lot of work with the Braves a few years ago, and he's buying the Atlanta Braves. Hopefully they do not fade, he said. You buy it? Why not? Of course, the Braves won yesterday while we were on the air, and the Nationals last night beat the Yankees. Surprised me there. 5-4, so Braves didn't gain any ground with their win yesterday, but still they're in first place.
Yeah. One-game lead. I'll take it. It would have been nice if the Yankees would have beaten the Nationals just to give me a little bit more cushion.
I got you.
But I've already won.
That little mini bet you won.
At least that one.
That little mini bet. Now the Braves are going to be playing San Diego. San Diego comes to town. They're not that good. And Sanchez pitching for Atlanta tonight, 7:35 for that one. Washington is off tonight again. I guess they're traveling. Let me see here. Yeah, I don't see Washington on the schedule for tonight. Then the Nationals will be playing starting tomorrow, and their series will be at Toronto, 7:07 tomorrow night. So it's going to be neck and neck here for a little while, and we'll see who pulls ahead eventually. But, Tom Hart buys the Braves. And I agree with him. It's great for Freddie Freeman that he's got some help now, because he languished there for a long time.
That's right.
Without any support.
And it seems like he's even more productive that he does have a little bit of help.
Yeah. Like it. 844-477-3776. The text line is 71307. Get another U.S. Open update and more when we come back in the Thursday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Thanks again to Tom Hart from ESPN for joining us in the last segment to preview the College World Series. Three SEC teams, one ACC team. You got somebody you want to pull for? Who can you pull for in the College World Series without a local team?
I don't think I have anybody.
I can't pull for Arkansas after watching their fans against South Carolina. I just can't. Florida won it last year. I mean, Mississippi State's kind of an interesting story. They don't really belong, and they're playing well. So
are
maybe,
you okay with the Cowbells with Mississippi State?
No, I don't like that either. You're right. Zap, they're out.
Wait a minute. You don't like Cowbell?
No, that's horrible.
More Cowbells.
No. North Carolina, I can't pull for them in anything. Can't do that.
Washington?
Yeah, but they're not going to win it. So, Oregon State, really good. Don't care. So no, I have nobody to pull for.
Yeah, you basically said there's no one to pull for, but you can hear it here on ESPN Upstate.
Well, you can hear the finals, yeah. The last best two out of three once we get down to two teams. We will have that for you. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not this coming week, but the following week. Wednesday if necessary. But anyway, it's interesting to watch. I mean, I want to watch some of it. Texas with Roger Clemens' son, apparently he's a hothead. That's fun. He's staring down dugouts and stuff. That's kind of cool.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be fun to watch. You know, little
yeah,
sidebar
so maybe
stories.
Texas is a team that I could
get in with Texas.
Seeing them
all right.
Winning.
All right, World Cup started today, and Russia beat Saudi Arabia 5-0. I saw some of it with my lunch crowd. We were cheering loudly over at the local chicken wings place.
See, I knew you were going to be into this soccer thing. Had to go find a place to watch it.
It was amazing. It's amazing. People are into it. Did you see what Robbie
Williams? 5-0.
5-0. So not a very good game here. See what Robbie Williams did? Do you know who Robbie Williams is?
Yeah. I know he's a singer and musician.
He was in the group Take That.
Who?
See, this is from my music radio background. I played their song Back for Good about 4 million times on the radio in my career. It's a stupid little pop song.
I swear I don't know it. Can you sing it for us right now?
No, it's okay. We're good. Anyway, he's a British singer, and he sang before the beginning of the Russia game with Saudi Arabia today. He's 44 years old now. And during his final song, which is called Rock DJ, I'm not familiar with that one, he prowled down the sidelines of the stadium. He changed the lyrics, and then he flipped off the crowd. Thank you, Robbie, for that and your international spotlight. It's great.
Diesel does that to us every day when he walks in the room.
Hey, he's just setting the tone.
I mean, really?
Let's add some splash excitement to the World Cup.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, I have no idea what he's
saying. Don't you worry. Out of any crowd of any sporting event, it's soccer where people, like, kill each other and stuff. So why does this surprise you? This is getting the anger started early.
Why? Why do that? Why? What's the point?
Well, you know,
he's trying to get somebody to talk about him.
Stone Cold Steve Austin used to do that all the time in the WWE and endeared him to all of his fans.
People like that?
Yeah. So maybe soccer fans like being flipped off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, but he did it anyway. We have a bunch of guys at -1 at the U.S. Open. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 guys tied for the lead at -1. Only 2 of them have finished. The other 6 are on the course. Who do you like out of this group? Scott Piercy, Ian Poulter, Brian Gay, Peter Uihlein, Russell Henley, Francesco Molinari, Brian Stewart, or Lucas Herbert?
You can add Jason Duffner to that list.
Did he just go
-1?
He
just made a birdie.
Well, at least we know him. At least we've heard of him. Ernie Els is at even par, so, you know, he's up there on the leaderboard after 3 holes.
There we go.
Dustin Johnson, the same thing. He's at even par. You said Duffner went to -1, so he's among the leaders right now. Sergio started out tied for the lead. Now he's at +1, so he's a couple shots back, Sergio Garcia, as is Tommy Fleetwood. Steve Stricker's at +1. Jim Furyk's at +1. Justin Thomas also at +1. Looking for other golfers we know. +2 for Martin Keimer and Adam Scott, Brant Snedeker, Zach Johnson at +3, Patrick Reed at +3.
It looks like we just have a new leader.
Okay.
Russell Henley.
Henley's the leader. Great. That's exciting.
I'm not sure who Russell Henley is.
No, I don't know. Kevin Kisner's from Aiken. He's at +3 after 2 holes. So, yeah, that's kind of the way it's been. Matt Kuchar's at +4. He finished at +4 today. He was at the top of the leaderboard for a little while, but did not last. Lucas Glover, Clemson golfer, +4 after 4 holes. Tiger Woods, +4 after 3 holes. Well, he had plus three on the first hole.
That's right.
So he settled down a little bit, I guess. A little bit. Let's see. Where's Mickelson? Bill Haas is at plus six. He's finished for the day. Bubba Watson plus seven. And Phil Mickelson at plus seven. They finished for the day. And we've told you, and, you know, hate to do it to him, but we'll repeat that Rory McIlroy finished at 80. Plus 10 for the day. Plus 10. I just, hard to believe it's that bad, but that's where it is. But it could be worse. You could be the guy who shot 92, Scott Gregory. 92 today. Were you out there playing today under the name of Scott?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the kind of scores we could go out there and shoot. Probably not on that course.
Not on that course, no. I'm going to tell you that.
Scott Gregory is the first player in 16 years to shoot above 90, 90 or above, in the first round. He's only 23 years old. He's from England. He had two triple bogeys, three double bogeys, 10 bogeys, and three pars. Yeah, that's my round of golf right there.
And you know, for me, I'm walking off, hey, good, yeah, good round, today. 92
not,
today.
Not bad. I'll take it. Wow. That's tough. He said he knew it was going to be tough. The wind, he's played in wind before. That wasn't the issue. The issue was he didn't hit the short stuff very much, very well. He only hit 5 out of 15 fairways, 4 out of 18 greens. And the wind is causing problems for everybody. And, you know, supposedly picking up this afternoon, so it's not getting any better. So I don't know that the scores are going to go down this afternoon at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it seems like guys are backing away from putts because the wind is so bad.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of short putts missed already, a bunch of them. So it's not very good as far as scoring is concerned. But you don't have to worry about the cut line till tomorrow. We'll see where that's going to be, but the scores are
yeah, and as
high.
Much as Tiger's sitting at plus four, in all reality,
it's not that well.
It's
terrible.
Not that bad.
No,
considering it's all relative to what the leader is right now, just minus two.
Yeah, and only one guy has minus two. Bunch of guys at minus one. So. That's where it is at the U.S. Open, Shinnecock Hills. And by the way, traffic up there, that's out on Long Island toward the end of Long Island, and apparently it's a nightmare to get there. They told golfers out there that you better allow 2 hours from the hotel. I don't know where the hotels are. Are they staying in New York City? Why, if they are? Why would you stay in Manhattan if you've got 2 hours to negotiate to get start your round?
Yeah, there's no way. I'm surprised they would not be renting houses out on Long Island somewhere.
Maybe.
At least a little bit closer.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Tiger's got his dinghy.
Yeah, Tiger doesn't worry about it.
No, he's good.
Wait, what? Tiger's got his what?
Oh, you weren't here yesterday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
he's parked his yacht near the course.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but he calls it a dinghy.
It. Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah. So it was 155 feet? 150 feet?
Something like that. It's costing him like over $1,000 a day to park it there.
Yeah. It's a $20 million yacht.
But that's no big deal.
$20 million dinghy.
Right. So yeah, Tiger's cool, but I mean, that just adds to the stress of it.
Of course.
Got to negotiate 2 hour commute to get to the golf course.
Yeah, no thank you.
Crazy.
And I heard that they were doing some type of implementing local rules this year. It's the first time they've done that. It's where in the bunker, I guess there's stones and rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And previously you were not allowed to move a stone or a rock that's in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
But this year you're allowed to do that. And the reason I bring it up is because in 2004, Phil Mickelson was faced with that same scenario, and he double bogeyed 17, if you remember, and it was all because there was a stone he wasn't able to move that was behind his ball, and so he flied the green.
Hey,
ended up with a double bogey.
I'm not trying to be mean here, but what's the difference between a stone and a rock?
It's probably the size.
Okay, which one's bigger, a rock?
A stone.
Okay,
come on, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
All right. It's a golf thing, so, you know, I just...
No, it's not
enough.
A golf thing.
It's not a golf thing. It's a stone and rock thing.
That's a geology thing. I did take geology at Clemson.
All right.
Rocks for Jocks. That was the hardest class I've ever taken in my life.
What was it?
Rocks for Jocks.
That was a real
rocks
class?
Rocks for Jocks.
That's at Clemson, right?
No, it's called geology.
I thought they called it Rocks for Jocks.
That's
I believed you.
Said,
well, we did. That's what we called it.
You called it that.
Yes, because I thought it was going to be easy. No, they did not call it that. That was the joke about it, because I thought it was going to be easy.
Rocks for Jocks.
And hello.
Not
I barely
easy, huh?
Got out of that thing with a D.
All right. Got to hit a break. Late for it. Back in a moment. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Why are you playing this instead of Take That Back for Good, Robbie Williams?
I had trouble finding it.
Do you believe Conor McGregor, when today he had a court hearing in New York, and he came out and talked to the media and said, "I regret my actions that led to today." Do you believe him?
Yeah, I believe him. He's in court. He could go to jail. Of course he regrets his actions.
I don't know if I believe him. I believe Conor more when he's throwing F-bombs, and it's more Conor. This just seems un-Conor-like.
He was told to say this.
Yeah, I mean.
Of course.
Of course he was, but, you know, does he mean it? Doesn't matter. They didn't resolve anything today. They had a brief hearing at Kings County Supreme Court, the Supreme Courthouse in Brooklyn, and he appeared for about 2 minutes. A mile away from the Barclays Center, that's where he threw a hand truck at a bus. So it was close to the scene of the crime. McGregor's legal team and the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office said negotiations for a potential plea deal are going on. The Dublin native's next court date now scheduled for July 26th. So a month and a half or so down the road. So he's free on bail still. He's facing 12 total charges, including 2 for misdemeanor assault, 1 for felony criminal mischief for his involvement in the incident April 5th. On video, you could see that Conor McGregor stormed onto the loading dock at Barclays Center and attacked a bus filled with UFC athletes. Fighters Michael, is it Chiesa? No. And Ray Borg both said they suffered injuries in the attack and could not fight at UFC 223 on April 7th. McGregor has not fought in the UFC since November of 2016. He didn't fight at all last year, huh?
Counting that money.
But he did fight against Floyd Mayweather, boxing, and made the bucks last August. Dana White told TMZ yesterday that he is going to meet with McGregor on June 18th. Sources have told ESPN the UFC wants that meeting to be in Las Vegas. And the agent for Conor McGregor told ESPN today that the team will focus on this legal matter first before they address any future fights. But they didn't resolve anything, just set another court date. So we'll see. I mean, McGregor's going to fight again. It's just dragging out. It'd be nice if they just go ahead and figure out what they're going to do, right? Yeah.
Is he trying to enter a plea?
They're working on a plea deal.
That's what it is.
But they haven't resolved it yet. What do you think that might be?
I doubt there will be any time served.
Yeah. No. Community service?
Community service, fine, probation.
Yeah, because, I mean, UFC wants him to fight again.
Definitely. I mean, he's a moneymaker for him, and he's exciting to watch. So, and you throw this in there, that gets even more interest.
Yeah, I mean, this won't hurt him. This won't hurt him. But who does he fight? Just have to wait and see. Was St. Pierre? Is that one of the...
There's all kinds of people out there, but yeah. I think he probably fights for a belt that he lost, possibly.
Well, we'll see where it goes, but anyway, Conor's apologizing for what it's worth. Dustin Johnson had a nice birdie putt a couple minutes ago, so he's at -1 now at the U.S. Open as he's teeing off on number 5, which is a 592-yard par 5.
Yes.
Yeah. So Dustin's off to a good start. -1 going to the 5th. You'll take that with the way scores are going. Hits his drive off the fairway, but it seems to be safe. So that's a good start for him. If he can, you know, with most of the other stars blowing up, he could be in pretty good shape here.
If he's sitting after day one at 69, 70, he's in really good shape.
Yeah, and he's playing well, but Tiger Woods is at +4. He's playing with Dustin Johnson as he prepares to tee off on number 5. So they've got a long way to go today in the wins at Shinnecock Hills in New York. All right, coming up next, as we begin hour number 3 of the huddle, we'll get to 3 questions. Going to talk about Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma. Talk a little more about Deshaun Watson, and you guys are going to have to make a pick on the U.S. Open. I'm giving you a break because you get to see half a day of golf before you have to make your pick. You're welcome. So we'll do that coming up on 3 questions, and Mike Venditti will join us in studio next hour as well. He's a soccer fan, so we'll get his World Cup take and some baseball stuff with Diddy. Follows it closely, too. He just went to a Milwaukee Brewers game earlier this week. Ask him about that experience. So that's all coming up in Hour 3. Stay with us. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.